Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. And we have with us a gentleman we haven't had on for a couple of years, but I always enjoyed him when he was a regular guest here. His name is John McTernan, and he wrote a book called God's Final Warning. And, you know, it was very interesting. I was to go to a meeting in New Orleans here, I guess it was the 1st of September, and we were all set and ready to go. And of course, what I didn't know was that they were holding a international convention. It was on, I forgot what it was. It was a homosexual convention, and they called it the Southern Decadence Festival that they held on a regular yearly basis, the Southern Decadence Festival. And it was just about 2 days before the Southern Decadence Festival was to begin when, of course, Hurricane Katrina struck New Orleans, and you all know what happened. Well, was that simply an accident? Does God ever intervene in the affairs of men? Does God ever actually bring judgment onto communities or onto societies that have turned against him? Well, John's book, God's Final Warning, is a fascinating look into the background of what's happened to America over the last several decades. And as you could see time and time again, when we did something that was an affront to God, there was some sort of natural catastrophe. Are all these coincidence, or does God really rule in the affairs of men and interfere in the affairs of men? John McTiernan, thank you so very much for being with us.
Stan, excuse me. It's good talking to you again. Yeah, I was listening to you, and it has been a couple of years now.
It really has. And so anyway, we just wanted to talk a little bit about what John had written before, what he's noticed in recent years. And I believe, you know, as Benjamin Franklin said, if a sparrow cannot fall without his knowledge, can a great empire be raised without his blessing? And I think that we're seeing, as America turns more and more against God, that God is withdrawing his protection from our nation. So you pick up the story there, John.
Well, Stan, what you're saying is true. And what I think has happened to America, you know that old story, Stan, about the frog in the hot water?
Sure, I do.
And the hot water is turned up just a little at a time, and the frog just sits there till it's boiled to death. Where if you took hot water at first and threw the frog in it, it would, you know, leap out. Well, what's happening in America is the hot water is, for good old-fashioned word, it's sin. And it's becoming more and more pronounced, more and more permeating all areas of our society. And as this increases, just like you said, God's hand of protection, his blessing, decreases. And we're seeing awesome events that can correlate, stand on the very day. This is the thing about God. The spankings, if you want to use that word, that America has been happening, have been on the very day of rebellion. The latest one is Hurricane Katrina. Stan, I was supposed to be there also, right around that time, September 1st, in New Orleans, and I had a commitment in Fort Worth, Texas. So I took the commitment in Fort Worth, Texas, but I had been invited to New Orleans.
We're going to be back in just a moment here with John McTernan talking about God's final warning. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is John McTernan, and some years ago he wrote a book called God's Final Warning, and we had John on our program a number of times talking about the amazing coincidence, or maybe it was more than a coincidence, that our society would be doing things that would be an affront to God as far as abortion or homosexuality or some other very, very sinful act. And then almost immediately there would be some sort of a natural calamity. And of course, when this thing happens occasionally, well, you sort of shrug it off and you say it's coincidence. But then, of course, what do we believe about God? Do we believe that God simply puts us here and sort of winds up the clock and then goes off someplace? Or does God intervene in the affairs of men? I happen to believe he does. I can see his hand in what's happened to me in my life in recent years, and really, I suppose, all during my life, preparing me for what I'm doing today. And I think he does actually intervene in the affairs of anyone who's given their life to him. And this is why I think John's message is so important. So pick up the story there, John.
Well, Stan, as I was talking earlier, things that we see today in America are just, would not even have been dreamt of 50 years ago, 40 years ago. I'm 57 now, and when I grew up, the thought of Gay Pride Day, homosexuals virtually walking naked down the major streets of our city, fornicating in public, babies being ripped out of the mother and the back of the skull cracked open and the brain sucked out, and that's a constitutional right. The pornography, the extent of the pornography, God being removed, is like a search and destroy, mission going on by those that hate God to get every vestige, every little, go into every nook and cranny and get anything to do with the Lord out of our society. That was unthought of one generation ago. And today, I'm sorry to say, Stan, but the church has grown accustomed to this, and growing accustomed to it has really lost the fear of God, Stan, how holy God is and the fear of God. And the thought of God judging America for sin is alien not only to the unbelievers, of course, to the believers.
Well, I think, of course, what happened was the enemies of God infiltrated our religious seminaries, both Catholic and Protestant, many years ago, and began changing the message of the church and changing the description of the nature of God. Now, they can't change the nature of God, but they can certainly change the way we look at him. And the idea that there is never punishment for sin, well, I think that is Satan's own lie. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is John McTiernan, and his book entitled God's Final Warning. And it's out of print now, what we've been talking about. They've even trying to get it back in, and if people were interested in that, maybe they would even want to take a case of books, as they did with my book, and we could get the book reprinted, and we'll talk to you more about that after we've had a chance to talk to John about that and make some plans. But it's a very important book. People need to begin to address what's going on today. And what is happening is not by accident. This is a long-range plan. You can see this conspiracy against God and the effort to take the Christmas out of Christmas season, the word Christmas, and certainly to take the prayer and God out of our schools. The insistence that we must never mention the concept of creation in our schools today, or even to mention intelligent design. You see the effort to destroy God on our television. If you don't believe it, you watch this program. It's called The Book of Daniel on Friday evening on NBC. And I hope you call your local NBC station and that you will call all of their advertisers and let them know exactly what you think about this sacrilegious program that is aimed at undermining faith. It is a totally depraved film. And as I watched it last Friday night, there wasn't one character of any worth at all. Every one of those people in there, including the minister and his father, who is an Episcopalian bishop, and the other bishop who the father is having an illicit sexual affair with, there's not one of those people who has any redeeming significance. It is part of the conspiracy against God to destroy the faith of our people, the disillusionists, and realizing, of course, full well that America was a great nation because America was a Christian nation. And as Tocqueville has said, you know, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Go ahead.
Well, Stan, yeah, exactly what you're saying. This TV show that's on there, there should be an outrage. Is there any more righteous indignation, Stan, amongst God, the people that love the Lord. I stand amazed as I look out there and see, no matter what wickedness comes across our bow out here, the church just shrugs its shoulders and goes on. But God is still God, and He's holy, and He's righteous, and He's just, and nations can offend God's holiness. And that's what's happened now. America has offended God's holiness. And I've been warning, Stan, I've been thinking there as you were speaking, I've been warning America since 1987. Since October of 1987, when the Lord began to show me the correlation between judgments and the sin of America. And I said, there's coming a day, if the church does not rise up and cry out for in repentance and ask for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit to break the back of what's going on in America, not taking up guns, Stan, but God pouring out His Holy Spirit, good old-fashioned outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like the Great Awakening in the 1740s, which changed the course of America and other great revivals in America, that there was coming a time when we would cross the threshold, and my book is titled God's Final Warning to America, and that there would be a final warning, and then we would cross the threshold where there would be no turning back. And I'm very concerned right now that Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, was that threshold, Stan, because that area that was devastated in New Orleans, there's a very distinct possibility that southern Louisiana may never come back, Stan.
Well, I think about 100 out of the 450,000 residents of New Orleans have returned. And, of course, the average person doesn't really understand the plight of the people whose homes were there. And, of course, they'll never be retrieved. And, of course, we could even ask why we saw what we saw there. You know, the storm had passed. First of all, it wasn't a Category 5 storm. It was a Category 3 storm that hit New Orleans. The Category 5 actually hit Mississippi adjacent to it. But, of course, the storm that hit New Orleans was not that bad. And then, of course, it was several hours after why the storm had passed that there was not one breach of the levees. There were three breaches of the levees.
Yes.
Now, it had lots of Category 3 storms before. And you might understand even one breach of a levee or two breaches of the levees, but three coming several hours after Katrina. And you have to ask yourself, why was that? And then why was the response so impossible? Why was FEMA there keeping help away? Why were the firefighters that were sent from all over the United States to help and relieve the firefighters who were working in there? Why were they sent to Atlanta for a lecture on, sexual tolerance and, of course, how to act, as far as discussing sexual issues? I mean, what does that have to do with helping? 1,000 firefighters came from all across America to help, and people came there with their boats to help. They weren't allowed in. Walmart stand in food and water supplies. They weren't allowed in. FEMA was there, not to help the people, but to manage the people or make things worse. Who knows? There's so many unanswered things about what happened there, and nobody really wants to answer those questions.
Well, Stan, yeah, I know. I heard everything that you said, but here's the key thing to this. New Orleans was destroyed on the very eve of Southern Decadence. Southern Decadence is one of the top three homosexual events in the United States. I went online, and I got their website and other websites about the event. They were expecting about 125,000 to 150,000 revelers there. They were asked not to, and I understand, I have to say, call it as it is, they were asked not to fornicate in public. They were asked not to urinate in public. They were asked not to walk naked in public. That's what was going to take place starting on Wednesday, August 30th, 2005. On Tuesday, the levees gave. You know, I know there's all sorts of what happened, this, that, and the other thing. I believe God's hand was in it, and the city was devastated. And Stan, my friend asked me to come down. She invited me to come down to Southern Decadence with some friends of mine here from Pennsylvania and do street preaching. She said, I have a real bad feeling about this. She says, I have an ominous feeling about this coming Southern Decadence and judgment from the Lord. And Stan, do you know that there's hardly, she knows of one pastor in the entire southern Louisiana area, one pastor that was taking a stand against Southern Decadence.
Well, we have a friend who actually has a ministry there on Bourbon Street, and they've been preaching against us for a long time, and they've sent me the videos that goes what on there, and they're already X-rated.
Right, right. And that was presented to the mayor and the chief of police, and they wouldn't do anything because the homosexuals were bringing in, I think, $100 million that weekend, and they didn't want to upset the homosexuals that they would stay away from New Orleans. So here, the church was silent. The church was virtually silent. The church was comfortable with this stand. People in New Orleans had to know Southern Decadence in the New Orleans area. Southern Decadence was taking place. They had to know it. One pastor was speaking out on the radio about this in the area. And I was asked to come down and street preach, but I had prior commitments in Fort Worth, Texas, and I couldn't go. And Stan, it's gone now. You know, New Orleans, for all practical purposes, the infrastructure is gone. Whole sections of the city are gone. They're going to have to spend tens of billions of dollars on levees and infrastructure. There's a black mold taking over that is deadly. And even if you build your house or building wasn't destroyed by the flood, this black mold can destroy it. Hospitals are gone. Schools are gone. Tulane Medical Center is gone. So the city, for all practical purposes, you know, doesn't exist anymore.
And it's so interesting. They've had to lay off a large part of their police force.
I think 40 to 50% of the civil service workers in the city are gone.
And, of course, because they don't have any tax base. And,
of course,
what's going to happen to the pensions? Those people going there, there's no taxes to pay the pensions. I mean, the whole city is disrupted. And then they're saying, well, the federal government's going to intervene. Ladies and gentlemen, federal government doesn't have any money at all. The only money it has is what it takes from us by force, what it can borrow from other countries, or people foolish enough to lend it here, or what they can actually print. And, of course, when they do that, they devalue the value of our currency. And what people don't understand is, I believe what happened in New Orleans foreshadows what is going to happen all across America. We're committed to Iraq. We're not going to get out of Iraq. You can get out and demonstrate all you want to. It's not going to happen. And Stiglitz, Joseph Stiglitz, one of the world's leading economists, got a Nobel Prize for that, has estimated it's going to cost between $1 and $2 trillion that we're going to pour down the rat hole over there in Iraq as things go from bad to worse.
Yeah, well, Stan, like I said, as we turn from God, these terrible things happen, the blessings are being withdrawn. And Katrina is just the latest example. We can go back all the ways to 1987.
Now, why don't we go back there? Because I think that, your work, really, I've admired it so much from afar, and I've always enjoyed the programs, and I've sort of missed having you on. So let's go back to 1987, because you have a chronology there of evidence, and, you know, if you present that in court, I even think you could probably convince a jury that there really is a relationship between man turning away from God and God leading to terrible disasters in society. Yeah.
Well, Stan, I want to mention to your listeners, in case they're hearing me for the first time, well, these correlations that I'm making are not like something happens in April and then something else happens in June, and I'm saying, see. These are same-day events, Stan. Same-day events. Sometimes, you know, maybe 36 hours apart, but we're not talking about weeks, months, years apart. We're talking about basically same-day events. For example, Katrina destroys New Orleans on Tuesday, and on Wednesday was the beginning of Southern Decadence,
right,
when 125,000, 150,000 homosexuals are going to be in New Orleans. These are the type of things I'm talking about, going back all the ways to 1987. Some of the greatest disasters ever to hit America on these very days. I hear music in the background.
I hear music in the background. Well, that's because somebody's playing music, but we're going to be back in just a moment.
I figured.
Actually, that, of course, is to remind me that we are getting ready for a break. But you and I are going to be talking during that break. But, of course, the various stations that are pulling down our program are going to be playing the advertisements, which helps us to stay on the air and helps us to reach people across America with the truth. All right, John, well, why don't you go ahead and pick up that thought? John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Stan.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't, I guess we're live. I didn't know that.
We are live, and it's just you and me talking. It's going out on the Internet, and, of course, certain of the stations will be hearing this program when it's replayed on it. So don't worry about the technicalities. That's my job. Your job is to inform the people about the correlation that you've seen between, you know, man turning against God and God withdrawing his blessing.
Stan, I always feel obligated to lay a foundation before I go into this information because I don't want people to get the wrong idea about God. And I want them to understand that these are same-day events. These are, I'm not pulling things just to fit them together. But in the Bible, specifically Leviticus 18 but and other chapters of the Bible, God says that he will destroy a nation when these nations have certain ordinances. Now, ordinances are laws, customs. And one of them is adultery. And Stan, 40, 50 years ago, it was almost impossible to get a divorce in the United States other than for adultery, and which was rare. And now it's wide open, and adultery it's hardly even a divorceable event. Isn't that amazing?
Well, I think there have been a lot of dramatic changes in America, but as you describe it, it's like the frog in the hot water.
Yeah.
And people have to understand that it's sort of like that old poem of Alexander Pope, you know, vice is a monster of such horrible mien as to be hated is but to be seen, but seen too oft, too familiar with her face, we first endure and then pity and then embrace. And
yeah, well, so that's exactly what happened. I mean, we've murdered probably about 50 million babies now legally by the most heinous ways ever imagined. The Bible says that God judges nations that kill their children. And in Leviticus 18, it says that the Lord will judge nations that practice homosexuality. It's right there. It says the land is defiled. And in America now, we virtually made it a constitutional right. And then the last one is bestiality. And God says that it's an abomination, and he will judge nations. And Stan, there's stuff under the surface behind the scenes about abomination, especially in Europe right now, about bestiality. But all the sins that God says he judges a nation, but it's not only sin, Stan, because we've always had it. We've always had homosexuality. There's always been abortion. But when it becomes an ordinance of that society, when it becomes a custom, and in our day and age, we could say when it becomes a constitutional right, that's when that nation comes under the direct judgment of God, because that nation is in rebellion, total rebellion against him.
Well, of course, not only that, but America is doing everything they can through the motion pictures and the television that we are putting out to bring the same degeneracy to the rest of the world. And the Muslim world is offended by what we're doing. And you know, this is one reason why they're losing confidence in America. America purports to be a Christian nation, and you watch our television and our motion pictures. Remember, we're sending those out. We are the greatest purveyor of pornography anywhere in the world. Is God going to continue to allow this to happen indefinitely? Because, of course, the only purpose of pornography is to degrade the individual and to get an obsession with this sort of depravity. And then so many of these people go out into real life and try to carry out these metal pictures that they have and play out these things. And we see this in the video games, you know, killing prostitutes, things of that sort. God is going to judge America, and I think it's only a matter of time. We'll be right back here with John McTernan. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and John is simply talking about how in the Bible it talks over and over again of how God brings judgment upon nations that violate his laws, and certainly killing unborn children, the reason that God destroyed Jericho. Did you ever wonder why God gave orders to the Israelis? They were to go into Jericho, not just to seize the city, but to kill every man and every woman and every child and every animal, and the only one who was to survive was Rahab. And of course, if you get into the Psalms, you'll find the reason was because they sacrificed their children to Moloch.
Exactly, Stan.
And
exactly.
The Americans are
and they committed bestiality, and they committed homosexuality, and they were probably, I've had more people attack that aspect, Stan, God's judgment on the Canaanites, really almost more than anything. And you've got to understand, this was a completely decadent society given over to all sorts of wickedness, but their sexual immorality they were diseased, Dan, through bestiality, homosexuality, abortion, adultery and fornication. They probably had every venereal disease you could think of, and God couldn't allow that because it could be a vector to infect maybe the whole world with it.
And of course, it's not simply by accident today that in the United States, according to the Centers for Disease Control, there are 65 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. 65 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. And that is the end result of a successful genocidal policy that's been carried out by our public health organizations in the United States, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, and even by the AMA and our state.
I was just reading, Stan, just the other day, where in about, I wish I could remember this in detail, but I think they said in about 15 years, at the present rate of what you're talking about, the spread of sexually transmitted diseases, they estimate that 50% of the women in the United States will have a sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah, that's right. Well, then they're trying to come up with a vaccine, so it won't matter. But ladies and gentlemen, you can't play games with God. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Stan, starting in 1987, there was a huge, up to this time, it was probably the largest gathering of homosexuals in the world history in Washington, D.C. There was up to estimates of about 500,000. And they were marching for homosexual rights, and they were shouting things like, thank God I'm gay, and they wanted AIDS legislation and AIDS money for AIDS and all. But and they were supported by many politicians. There were many, many politicians out there supporting them. So we have the largest homosexual gathering in world history, supported by a significant section of the American public sector. And starting that Monday, the rally was on a Saturday, starting that Monday, the stock market started to crash, and then the following Monday, maybe six business days later, was the great crash of 1987, when the stock market fell 508 points in one day, and the market during that six-day period collapsed almost 50% in a one-week period of time. And it was immediately following on the heels of the great, we had one of the greatest stock market crashes in history, following immediately, the very next day it started, next business day anyways, of the greatest homosexual meeting in America, in the world history. And then I begin to notice, Stan, Supreme Court decisions about abortion, abortion marches on Washington, abortion marches on state capitals, homosexual legislation, homosexual marches on Washington, all events like that. I begin to notice massive earthquakes occurring on that day, stock market crashes, gigantic hurricanes hitting on that day, and right up to today, right up to Katrina. So starting, I've been able to draw a correlation from 1987 up to September of this year, a direct correlation. As we go down the road to sin, as we do those things that God says he'll judge nations for, and Stan, it's very specific. I mean, I've heard people that criticize me saying, well, maybe God will judge the nation for not putting a bigger increase on Social Security, or, for too little taxes or too much taxes. Well, the thing is, Stan, there are specific parameters in this for the judgment. It's very specific in the scripture, and it's the very things I just delineated. Fornication, abortion, adultery, homosexuality, and bestiality. When they become ordinances, when they become customs, when they become, in our lingo today, constitutional rights, God's judgment on that nation is right there. The land is defiled.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with John McTiernan, developing these ideas. Could God really intervene in the affairs of men? I believe he does it every day. And I believe John is right. I think we're very soon going to see God's judgment on America. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest, of course, is John McTiernan. And John, go ahead and pick up your story there.
Well, yes, Dan. So we pick up Hurricane Hugo in 1989, and I'm skipping quite a few. I just want to touch the highlights. We have Hurricane Hugo, September 21st, 1989. And if you read the front page of, like, the Washington Post, New York Times, of that time period, like August 30th, 31st, you'll see Hugo bearing down on the United States. Of course, they didn't know where it was going to hit. They just knew it was bearing down. And the same page, front page, is the headlines, abortion and Supreme Court. And there was a ruling, or was a case before the Supreme Court, that the government, at that time, I guess it would be George Bush, they had Friday to put a deadline in, but Friday was the deadline to submit legal material to have the Supreme Court decide to overturn Roe versus Wade. So the headline, Stan, you couldn't miss it on these national papers, was abortion and Hurricane Hugo coming. Well, guess what day Hurricane Hugo hits, Stan? Friday. And the government never did pursue overturning Roe versus Wade. So on the very day, the government had the opportunity to overturn Roe versus Wade, or at least to get the ball rolling, to present its argument to overturn it. And there's been very few opportunities like that. The federal government did not even lift a finger to do it, and Hurricane Hugo slammed in. So it was just an amazing thing to see the two headlines. The front page of, like, the Times and the Washington Post was all virtually abortion and Hurricane Hugo bearing down on America.
Well, I think I'm sure that God mourns every time a child's life is snuffed out, because every one of them is a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God, and justified all you will. There are terrible, terrible things that happen to a woman when she has an abortion. And believe me, that guilt is with her all the rest of her life, and the same thing happens often with men as well. There are certainly physiological changes that predispose a woman to cancer as a result of this, and will, of course, make more difficult for her to bear children in the future. But women are never told this. There's an increased incidence of breast carcinoma in the women who've had first trimester abortions, and the more first trimester abortions, the more breast carcinoma. And, of course, the government is doing everything they can to suppress that information, as is organized medicine. And you have to ask, why is organized medicine suppressing the truth? We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John McTernan was simply pointing out that, you know, back in 1987, why we had, of course, this one of the first of these great cataclysmic events associated with the issue of homosexuality, and then, of course, in 1989, why we had Hurricane Hugo associated with a Supreme Court decision that failed to address the issue of abortion. It could have actually countered and done away with the slaughter of all these unborn children. But you have to really understand, there really are people who want to destroy the lives of children. It has nothing to do with women's rights. If it had to do something with women's rights, why are they over in China, you know, and taking away the rights of women to have children if they want to? It is, they really want to destroy children. When you understand that, it makes a lot more sense.
Well, there's a Bible verse that you could fit right on that. It hits the nail right in the head, Stan, and it's Proverbs 8, I think it's 8:32. It's right there at the end of the 8th chapter, and it says, speaking of God, all they that hate me love death.
Amen to that. And
there's a direct correlation, Stan, between hating God and loving death.
And there really are people who hate God. And when we understand that, so much of what's going on today begins to make sense. So pick the story up there, John.
Okay, Stan, then I'm going to take you back to 1989, October of 1989. I'm going to come to California. And I don't know if you're a baseball fan or not, but do you remember the World Series in 1989?
Well, I remember sitting in my office with three lawyers. I never had three lawyers.
Three lawyers,
And when the building began to sink, you never saw such frightening people. They tried to duck under the desk and under their chairs, and
okay,
I just sat there and smiled.
I'm not that familiar with the geography of California. Where are you located?
Well, we can see Loma Prieta. That was the Loma Prieta.
Oh,
we can see
Loma Prieta
from my, really from very close to where I live.
Okay, so you're in the northern part of California.
Right.
Okay. Well, then you've got first-hand experience, Stan, on what I'm about to talk about.
Go right ahead. Yeah, that was a very memorable day.
Yes, that was the World Series earthquake. But what people don't realize, Stan, was just a couple hours before that, the day before that, as a matter of fact, there was the largest gathering of pro-abortion forces in California history. During September and October of 1989, in addition to what happened with Hugo, there was a huge battle going on in Florida over abortion rights and right to life, and it turns out that the abortion forces won. Excuse me, Stan. The abortion forces won, and believe it or not, this generated a spontaneous march and party taking place in San Francisco. So an event taking place in Florida generated this gathering of about 50,000 to 60,000 marchers, and I don't have it right in front of me right now, but it was front page San Francisco Chronicle where they covered this abortion march front page, and it said that they were beating drums, hear our voice, we're pro-choice. There were no pro-lifers to be in sight. The Attorney General of I don't remember his name at that time, but 1989, the Attorney General of California spoke at this gathering. Barbara Boxer spoke at the meeting. Dianne Feinstein spoke at this meeting, and they were all praising abortion rights and the victories that they had gotten during the last couple weeks. And Stan, they met the final, the terminal end of this march was at City Hall in San Francisco. I assume you're familiar with City Hall?
Oh, yeah, sure. I've been there many times.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I've only been to San Francisco actually once and never did make it to see City Hall.
Well, actually, I could tell you, went to medical school in San Francisco, so and I took my training there in both as an intern and as a resident. So, anyway, it's a beautiful city. It's such a shame that it's become such an evil city.
Well, Stan, within hours, I guess a little more than a day, when that march ended, the earthquake, Loma Prieta earthquake, which was about, 25, 30 miles south of San Francisco?
Oh, maybe a little bit more than that, about 50, 75 miles.
But it was on the San Andreas Fault.
Right, right. But it really, of course, shook up San Francisco. I mean, it destroyed a large number of buildings there. A lot of people's lives were lost.
Yes.
I can remember, of course, parts of the...
Billions of dollars worth of damage.
Right.
And this was on the heels, Stan. I want your listeners to understand is this was the largest pro-abortion rally, even to this day, in California history. And it was spontaneous. And politicians from California were there just fawning over abortion rights. I told you the state attorney general, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein. And then it was 7.1 on the Richter scale, and it was one of the largest earthquakes last century to hit the United States. So we have one of the largest earthquakes last century, right on the heels, Stan. We're not talking about a week later, a month later. We're talking about a little more than a day and a couple hours later, on the heels of the largest pro-abortion march. But here is the kind of the most important thing, Stan. Remember, I told you the march ended at City Hall.
Right.
All right. When you read the newspaper accounts, City Hall was nearly destroyed. It tells about one of the most heavily damaged buildings in San Francisco was City Hall. There was some sort of a radio show going on there at that time, and the announcer was reported and people screaming, running out of the building for their lives. They thought that City Hall was coming down. Well, the building had to be condemned, Stan, as a result of this earthquake. And remember now, this is the epicenter of this abortion rally. And the very epicenter of the abortion rally was destroyed for all practical purposes, 2 days later, and it took San Francisco 10 years and over $100 million to rebuild City Hall.
And of course,
isn't that amazing?
I remember, of course, a lot of the freeways came down. They just collapsed, and part of the on-ramps to the Bay Bridge came down. It was a devastating earthquake.
That earthquake was only about 20, 30 seconds in length.
Right.
And it was 7.1 on the Richter scale. Now, the great earthquake of 1906 was like 2 minutes in length, and it went for like 8.0 to 8.3 on the Richter scale. It was thousands of times more powerful than the one that you felt in 1989, right? So can you imagine how powerful the Great Quake of 1906 was? But what if God, if something is going on today or this year in California, specifically San Francisco, about abortion, homosexuality, and God decides that he's going to judge San Francisco similar to New Orleans? San Francisco might not make it stand. It may be destroyed like New Orleans.
Well, I have no.
I have great fear inside me for the future of New Orleans. I mean, of San Francisco and these other cities in California.
Well, of course, I have fear for our whole nation, because our nation has become so corrupt and so degenerate. And God, I believe, of course, whether it's going to be the war in the Middle East and the repercussions from that, or whether it's going to be disease, or there's so many things that could happen.
Well,
financial
collapse,
all of these things could devastate this nation.
Right. A great judgment, a great earthquake hitting California like that. You know, California's got, what, the sixth largest economy in the world?
Right, right.
And it, can you imagine if hundreds of miles of California was destroyed? I mean, we couldn't recover as a nation from. We'd have millions of people, refugees. I mean, something of the magnitude of the 06 earthquake hitting today could pull the whole nation down with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is serious. And the thing is, Stan, you know, you're out in that the West Coast, and I understand you're a voice in the wilderness, but how many voices are there like yours?
Well, I think the fortunate there's a small number, but there are a growing number too.
We're going to give credit for that small growing number, because that's the remnant that maybe God can work with. But we can't have silence, Stan, like there was in New Orleans. The church is virtually silent. And I was thinking about this, Stan. You know, all those pastors that were too busy in the New Orleans area, and remember, it's not only New Orleans. It's southeastern Louisiana. I mean, there's a lot of area down there besides New Orleans. Small towns and cities and all that. They're all gone. I mean, gone, Stan. They're just obliterated off the map. There's a lot of churches gone now. Completely gone. People scattered. A lot of pastors gone. Don't you think that maybe now, or maybe if it sunk into them, it was time to stand up and cry out to God and repent for Southern decadence? They didn't do it, Stan, and now the churches are gone.
Well, of course,
the buildings are like either completely destroyed or they're uninhabitable.
But of course, John, whenever anybody talks about this sort of thing, I'll never forget when Jerry Falwell, you know, spoke out on 911 and said this was God's judgment. Immediately he got a call from the president, and he backed down. Now, I think Jerry Falwell was absolutely right in what he said. I just wish he'd had the courage to stick with it.
I won't back down, Stan. You know me, all those years. I mean, I've had people say all sorts of things to me. But look, people can say what they want about me, but New Orleans is gone, Stan. And it's gone on the very eve of Southern decadence. If it was destroyed, you know, a month later and nothing was going on, I'd just shrug my shoulders and say, I don't know. I don't know why God allowed it. But it's crystal clear. God says he'll destroy nations for what we were doing on Southern decadence in New Orleans, and the city is gone. And all those pastors that were too busy to make a stand for righteousness, were too busy to stand up politically for what was going on, they were too busy to have days of prayer and fasting and humiliation before the Lord and crying out for an outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Now, Stan, where is their church? Where is their congregation? Where is the livelihood for their people? It's gone. And isn't it, it's almost fitting, where it's because San Francisco, New Orleans is a wicked city with prostitution and child prostitution and voodoo and homosexuality, and now there's a blight there. There's this black mold that's deadly, and it's in all parts of the city. And people, that friend of mine I told you that lived down there, she went back to the building where she worked, and they had to put masks on, gas masks. The government gave them gas masks because the black mold was so strong, and there was such dust and particles in the air that the building was condemned. You couldn't go into it. So she had to wear a gas mask to go back in and to get it work. Now that's what happened in New Orleans. And I've been going around since 1987 warning, God's holy. He's righteous. America cannot continue down the course we're doing. You cannot make ordinances of marrying homosexuals. You can't. God, if the church in the United States will not rise up and defend the sanctity of marriage, then God will do it in his own way by maybe destroying the country so it can't be done. Just follow what I'm saying, Stan.
Oh, I agree with you totally. That's why I wanted to have you come on and get your message out.
I mean, everything you can think of now to promote homosexuality. And what happens is, Stan, when you look in Romans chapter 1 in the Bible, the promoting of homosexuality and the act and all, God calls that a reprobate mind. And corporately now, America has become reprobate. This whole state, Massachusetts, Vermont, they tried it in San Francisco, the city of San Francisco, and in New York and in other areas, where they're promoting same-sex marriage, actually promoting it. If you speak out against it, you're a homophobe, you're a bigot, and there's all sorts of political power behind it, the educational system's behind it, many areas of the courts are behind it, and this is the very thing that God says he will destroy a nation over. And the church, for the most part, yes, there is a remnant standing, and I'm very thankful for that, but for the most part, Stan, the church is yawning. And we're looking down the barrel of a loaded gun.
Well, a lot of ministers are afraid to speak out, and they have far more fear of their congregation or board of elders or reprisals from the homosexuals, far more fear of that than they have of God. And earlier you said, you know, what we need is fear of God.
Yes,
and I really believe that we should have fear of God.
The fear of man brings a snare. That's what Proverbs says. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And instead of boldness in the pulpit, instead of shepherds in the pulpit, we have hirelings now. And they're afraid of man. And so, Stan, we need desperately a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk again about California. We're going to go to June of 1992. June 28th, 1992. And that was Gay Pride Day. The last Sunday in June has been designated by the homosexuals as Gay Pride Day. And they marched down the major streets in the United States, major cities like New York, Atlanta, Chicago, I think they're in Washington, D.C., San Francisco, and Los Angeles, and many other cities. So on the morning of Gay Pride Day, now, Stan, I'm not talking about a week, 2, 3 weeks. I'm talking about Gay Pride Day is going to start at like 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And at 6 o'clock, the great earthquake, the Landis earthquake, hit Southern California. Do you remember that one, Stan?
Oh, sure I do. Yeah.
Did you feel it up where you live?
Well, we did, but of course it didn't do any harm here. But
yeah,
it sure did devastate a lot of parts of Los Angeles.
Well, that must be hundreds of miles from you.
It really is. It's about 350 miles.
Wow. Well, that earthquake was in the desert, and it was east. It was in the desert, like east of Los Angeles. And it wasn't on the San Andreas Fault. It was close to it, but it wasn't on it. And if you read about it, Stan, the seismologist and the geologist were amazed at this earthquake because it was like a series of earthquakes. It wasn't one. It was a series of faults that ruptured. So it wasn't one fault that ruptured, but one fault was triggering other faults. And then it was gaining momentum, and then there was like solid rock. It was a mountain range that stopped it. But it was heading right at the San Andreas Fault, Stan. And this scared the seismologists because this earthquake, they were afraid, could have triggered. If it would have broken through this mountain range, it would have been heading directly. The faults that were rupturing would have been heading directly for the San Andreas Fault. But here's what it did. This is what astonished the scientists. For the first time in history, they were able to make a correlation between an earthquake in Southern California triggering earthquakes 800 miles away in Wyoming. To this day, they can't explain the triggering device, but the Great Landis earthquake of June 28, 1992 triggered earthquakes in Yellowstone National Park, in Colorado, in Arizona, in Nevada, and in your area, Stan, Mount Lasser. Is Mount Lasser near you?
Yeah, Mount Lasser. Well, it's maybe 250, about 300
miles. Yeah, that's just down the road.
Right.
But anyways, that's a volcano. And at Mount Lasser begin to shake like a soda bottle when you would shake it up and it'd start fizzing. And hot gases started to pour out of it because there were earthquakes underneath Mount Lassen, I believe it's called, that were triggered by the Great Landers quake in Southern California.
This
amazed the scientists, Stan. They had nothing to compare this with.
All right, we're going to have to interrupt you right there. Do you have a website that you up on running anytime?
Yes, Stan.
All right, you want to give it?
Yeah, it's www, and it's all one word, .branchofdavid.org.
Branchofdavid.org. We'll be right back here in just a moment.
Okay.
All right, fine. Well, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program, John. Go ahead. Well, we could probably go for several hours. We'll do that one of these days soon, but you go right ahead.
Well, Stan, I gave your listeners bookend examples. I started off with the great stock market crash of 1987, with the direct correlation with the greatest homosexual event up to that time in American history. And then the other bookend was Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, and the destruction of New Orleans. And in between, Stan, I could fill in where great tornado outbreaks, more stock market crashes, hurricanes hitting, great fires, forest fires. They all were triggered, or they were all around Supreme Court decisions about abortion. Homosexual marches on Washington or state capitals, homosexual legislation that was passed, abortion marches. I gave you the big one there in San Francisco in 1989. So, Stan, God has been warning America, at least that I've documented, since 1987. And I believe now we've crossed that threshold into the warning judgments we recover from, Stan. The wrath judgments we don't recover from. And I think we've crossed that threshold now into the wrath judgments where, you know, areas like southern Louisiana and New Orleans may never recover, Stan. And this could spread to other areas of the country as we go into more and more and more rebellion. And we can't look to the government, Stan. We can't look to anyone but ourselves on our knees, the preachers in the pulpits. We need shepherds and not hirelings crying out to God for one great last revival, Stan, just like the Great Awakening in the 1740s and 50s. With Jonathan Edwards, where it shook the whole course of this nation, and revivals like 1800, 1825, which swept, you know, it literally changed the course of American history.
It sure
we need
did.
That stand, or we're not going to make it as a nation.
I agree with you totally, and of course, most people have never heard that wonderful sermon that Jonathan Edwards gave, a sinner in the hands of an angry God. Why, they wouldn't even allow that to be preached today.
I know, Stan.
After all, because we've changed the nature of God, at least they've tried to convince us that God loves everybody and nobody really goes to hell.
He does love everybody, Stan, but we have to come his way, the gospel way, not our way.
And amen to that. Hey, John, we're out of time, but God bless you.
Thanks a lot.
And we'll want to get you on here again real soon, and we'll be talking to you off the air.
Okay.
God bless him. Thanks so very much.
Bye.
And our guest today has been John McTernan. His book, God's Final Warning. And we are thinking very seriously about trying to get this back into print because God is warning us today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with John. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. His book has been out of print, but we need to get it back in print, and we need to warn people. First of all, I want to mention that we had an interview this morning with Paul Weyrich, who I believe is probably one of the three or four people in Washington, D.C. I really trust his judgment, and he knows all of the people there in Washington, D.C., and he knows Judge Alito. He thinks Judge Alito is a good man, and if Paul Weyrich says he's a good man, he is a good man. So certainly it behooves every one of you out across America to call your senator and call him at his home office in his state rather than in Washington, D.C. You can call Washington, D.C. too if you want to. Right now, the calls are running 1,000 calls to about 30 against Judge Alito. Why? because the Christian church is not organized and trying to get him, confirmed. And believe me, some of the senators will be swayed by the number of calls. The people who hate God, they're well organized. God's people, well, they're just so heavenly minded, most of them are no earthly good. Certainly we don't have any Christian leadership that's really out there trying to get the Christians mobilized. And so we're going to ask you, if you care about America, if you believe what we say here at Radio Liberty, you get on the telephone tomorrow and you call the local office for your U.S. senator, you call the national office, you have two senators, call them both. And that way you can get four calls in and get everybody to know, support Judge Alito for the Supreme Court. It's not going to save America, but we have an obligation to be involved. And then, as we're looking at what's going on in the world today, everything suggests there's going to be a nuclear attack on Iran in the very near future. We're either going to topple the government out of Iran and Syria, or we're going to go to war with them. What you probably have not heard is there's been an unsuccessful assassination attempt on the president of Iran within the last 2 weeks. Within the last week, they have killed, or somebody has killed, the commander of the military forces in Iran. We are living in a very unstable world, and the average American has no idea what's going on. So you have to understand there's a spiritual battle. Who is really running things? I mean, is the CIA, is the CFR, is it the Masons? Well, you need to get our pamphlet entitled The Occult Hierarchy. It'll give you a good overview. It's a compilation of the letters we've written over a period of the last 6 years. That's The Occult Hierarchy. Three pamphlets for $9.95 altogether. And, of course, you need to get it. You need to study it. You need to check the sources. And you need to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle, which is behind this conspiracy against God that is being played out before us today. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get copies of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or the video, and or the tape, or all three of them together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special, you need to. If you want to buy copies of my book in bulk numbers, why, we'll get the price down for you, because we want you to get that book into other people's hands. And then, of course, we want you to go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day. Pull down our newsletters. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products. If you buy them through us, you get a special either a video or a four-tape set we've created. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to look into getting Telstar or telling other people about the satellite we have up there. And you can hear Radio Liberty there 9 hours a day, and Joyce Riley 9 hours a day, and Chuck Christmeyer and Pastor Butch Palm. And they have a good message as well. And so then, of course, we ask you to encourage others to listen to our programs. We hope that you'll want to get our video and or DVD, Planned Population Reduction. That's Planned Population Reduction. So you'll understand that there really is a genocidal policy being carried out in the world today. We hope that many of you will want to get our DVD on the coming financial crisis and the pamphlet that goes with it for $3.95. That's for the pamphlet, of course. That's called The History of Money. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.